Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Well, good day to you. This is Brad, and you're listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast. This is actually April 1st. I promise you, no April Fool's jokes, nothing like that. Just great news. It has been a wonderful week, the Resurrection Week. We talked about it, and we went through each day of the Passion Week, or some people call it the Holy Week, all the way through the Scriptures, and then talked about the Resurrection Sunday and the wonderful story I was able to post on YouTube, TikTok, other places, on the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24. Boy, that was a great time. And we just had a number of people just talking and offering their greetings and their praises on having a wonderful time at their assembly, wherever they were in the United States and across the country, across the globe, really. I want to thank you. You know, I had shared this earlier as we got talking about one of the key words I really, really enjoy that I've been studying lately when we describe heaven, and that's the word comfort. This word comfort is used in the Hebrew and Greek throughout the Scriptures. I'm not sure about the Aramaic, but in totality, the word comfort in the translations that we read are used up to 108 times, and a majority of the times talking about the comfort of the afterlife for the believer, the comfort in heaven. Think about it. Luke chapter 16, Jesus says, in a one-word description of what Lazarus, the believer, is enjoying in the presence of God, he is being comforted. We think about Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Those who recognize their sin, mourn because of their sin, repent because of their sin, well, they mourn now, but they will be comforted. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, I think about this. God's going to walk on earth with the believers on the new earth. I promise you'll find that in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. And God being alongside us, well, I'd say that's comfort, wouldn't you? And think about it. Even right now, on this earth, in this life, in what we have now in our existence, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, He comforts us in our affliction. Right now, we receive that comfort. But that's even against the struggle of the curse. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22 tell us that all things are under the curse. But we still receive that comfort in the time of affliction. But then think about this. The very one who says, Isaiah 51 and verse 12, I am he who comforts you. Yeah, real powerful word. I wanted to share that with you as we get going into our study in Revelation. There is judgment against the non-believer, as we will see. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to continue over into verse 5. But there's a great comfort for the believer. Many people have told me, you know, my church doesn't talk about Revelation. It's too confusing. Oh, one of the handymen that came around here and was chatting with me, and they are dealing with the loss of different ones in the family, potential loss of different elderly in the family. And we got talking, and he's familiar with my ministry. And he says, you know, the church that I go to, the pastor doesn't want to talk about Revelation, feels it's too confusing. And I said, oh, my, you know, one of the most comforting passages I can read in the Scripture is Revelation 21 and 22. Read that section and you'll find great comfort. So we'll talk about that. Now, as for right now, we're going to talk about the first and the second resurrection. Go as far as we can in the time allotted here. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you so much. This weekend, I'll be back on the road. I have four different circuits I'll be traveling this year, by car or by plane, mostly by car. And this weekend, I'll be heading to Hamilton, Alabama, to go. The collection of believers there, headed up by the wonderful organizer in their area, Miss Christie. We will be meeting in Hamilton, Alabama, on First Street, at a wonderful convention venue, a wedding venue used many times. It's called the Molly, M-O-L-L-Y. I'm not sure of the reason why the name, but it's unusual enough for you to remember. We will start at 2 o'clock. If you'd like to join us, you are most welcome. I will remind you once again, there is no cost. You come on and enjoy it. We're going to have a teaching time, the rewards of the believer, what does God look like in heaven, and then there's a Q&A time as well. So that's 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time this Sunday, April 7th. The following week, April 14th, I will be in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And we are going to rent out a meeting room in Mount Airy at the Holiday Inn Express. It would be an honor to see you there. If you will register ahead of time on my email, RSVP, obviously no cost, it's because we have some gifts. We also want to take a head count of how many articles of just the handouts and different gifts we have. And also, we're going to have some food there. Doesn't cost you a cent. You come on, bring your friends as well. But if you RSVP, we have a special present from you made by my brother Brent at Zonko Pottery. So if you're able to join us there, that is April 14th, and we'll start at 10 in the morning on Sunday, April 14th. We'll be done by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have the rest of the Sunday there, or I'll hang around if you have some questions as well. If you'd like to be on our prayer list or you'd like to be on our newsletter, go over to our website. It is theheaventour.com, theheaventour.com, and go ahead and partner with us. Let us know any prayer requests, any needs, and I'll pass them right on to our prayer chain as well. Well, let's see. Oh, at the end of the month, April 27th, 28th, the weekend, I'll be flying into Grand Junction, Colorado, and looking forward to a time there. Miss Amy has arranged that with the families there. I'm talking, I believe, also as well on Saturday night with a college and career group. Looking forward to that. Boy, I do love coming out and being able to meet you face-to-face. And it's happened many times, and so I'll keep you apprised of the different places, and you can go and check on the website of the different places that we'll be visiting, and we'll have our ministry as well. So I will move us on here into our study here. We're going into Revelation, and we've been going verse by verse, and we're looking at the resurrections. Now, when we take a look in the Scripture, we see that Jesus has told us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then we also see, in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, the very important passage that says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There are two different resurrections. Just as we talked about in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that there is it is appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we want to talk about the very, very serious teaching here. Let's take a look at this passage here in this final judgment, final resurrection. There are many people who would call the passage in Revelation chapter 20, this chapter itself, the Great White Throne Judgment chapter. And that would be a good way to give the title for this, because that will include this when we go down to verse 11. But let's look right now, and let's start reading in Revelation chapter 20 as we're continuing this Revelation edition in our questions about heaven. In the end times, we see this, verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, and that means the four points of the compass, north, south, east, and west, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. That takes us to verse 9. Let's start with this here. What does it say here? The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. When we see this, first of all, does this include, when we're talking about judgments coming down and such, does this affect those that have been part of the first resurrection, which would be Jesus, following Jesus, and as we said, he is the resurrection of life, doing good and following him? When we take a look at that, we see, are we protected? Are we in comfort, as we talked about earlier? All right, well, let's take a look at this, all right? In verse, the saints backing up, in verse 4, what does it say here? The Christians, they'll live and reign for 1,000 years. They lived and not just lived, but Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 says, the believers, the overcomers, will sit on the throne with Jesus. Revelation 22 and verse 5 says, they will reign. It's also saying it here too. Now, we're not exactly sure when we talk about this, who specifically would be involved in the company, that would be those that would be on the thrones that we see here. The thrones around there, these ones sitting on them. Is this going back to when we look in Revelation chapter 4? Does this talk about the apostles, or maybe the martyrs get in here, or something along that line that we saw in Revelation chapter 6? We really don't know. We don't know for sure when we talk about the thrones here. Thrones are always representing power, authorities. So when it says this, that we will be given powers. So a lot of people will ask, are we just in heaven just to walk around? Is it a celestial library? We shuffle quietly in a way that is comfortable but boring? I mean, we're talking about feasting when we talked about Revelation 19, singing, Revelation chapter 15, using our talents, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, learning, Revelation chapter 7 verses 15 through 17, receiving giftings from God of kindnesses, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, and on and on and on, adventuring and things like that. So no, it's not going to be boring, but as far as when we take a look at this, I don't know that we would say anything's boring when you're reigning with the God of the universe. This is absolutely incredible here. The first resurrection, when we take a look at this, this first resurrection is of life. The second resurrection is of death. When we see this, we're reminded, it says, this resurrection tells us something very clear. Over such, the second death has no power. Isn't that something? We're on this earth, and Hebrews chapter 2 says, the fear of death has enslaved many, but Jesus came and took away that fear, but he also took away the reality of a second death. We all will die once. We will leave this life, this mortal existence. But then what happens in eternity? Well, we don't have to worry. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, the Christian is guaranteed that there's no more death. All right, we have an incorruptible body, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 53 through 57, and we're reminded there again that there is immortality as presented to the believer. Now, that's for those who are in the first resurrection. As a matter of fact, it says in here, this is very, very important that we understand the comforting message here. Blessed is he, holy is he, or she for that matter, who is had taken part in the first resurrection. Now, when you look at the rest of the dead in this passage, you're talking about those who do not make it. Well, what happens here? Well, they're not holy, all right? And they're going to go under the second death. When we talk about this, when I went back to John chapter 5, and I told you about that, there was the second resurrection. Now, you have a delineation here by a timeline. There's 1,000 years in between. The 1,000 years have to be finished, according to this passage here, before we can see that judgment. To make it very clear, there's no close line, no blurring of the lines. The believers are very clearly here and celebrating and feasting and singing and rejoicing, seeing loved ones. Oh, the second resurrection, that's not happening. When we see this, we see that Christ was the first fruits, when we talk about that, of the first resurrection. And when we see that, we are associated with that. And when we see that, all of those through the ages take part in the first resurrection. That's not saying, okay, here we go, wham, at this particular point, at 12 o'clock on this certain day, there's going to be a first resurrection. No, it's the identification of that. Those that are the believers, they are in the first resurrection here. All right? So when we looked at that, we saw in Revelation chapter 20, and we went on down through this reigning with him. Once again, Revelation 22, 5, the believers are reigning. You're going to be more than just a citizen or just a couch potato in heaven. You would just be more than just an average Joe in heaven. You're going to be reigning. You're going to be special. And I've said this many times as you look through the scripture, you will be more you in heaven. You'll have your uniqueness, as we see in the example in Mark 8 and verse 11. You'll still retain your earthly name, your identification, family gathering there in Mark 8, 11. You'll probably be with your family. Whether you're staying with them or not, the Bible is silent. But let's continue on in this. We have in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth." And then it gives very strange two names, Gog and Magog, "to gather them to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea." They're heading for Jerusalem. You are going to have Satan, who was out of the picture for the 1,000-year reign of Jesus in the New Jerusalem. He was incarcerated, but he's going to be released. Now, we don't know if he's released like at the very last moment at zero. He could be initially introduced into the ending of the millennial kingdom. We don't know, but whatever happens, the deception works. There are going to be beyond count number of those who, through this series of the generations, have just found a discontent, a self-indulgence, a narcissism in which they worship themselves and they want to have somebody that would. I don't think that they're worshiping Satan. They're just going to follow him because of what he offers in that deception. So when we see this, this gives you an idea that, hey, you don't need to have Satan in order to do wrong. We've talked about this when we see in 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And you'll notice it never says anything about Satan there. We can do pretty bad on our own here. There will be people, as we know, they are to come to Jerusalem to offer their service of obeisance to the Lord, their worship. Oh, they'll do it on the outside, just as Judas walked through the motions there in his great hatred in his heart. But when this rebellion comes, they'll identify with the rebellious here. And so when we see this, this answers the question many times that I will hear. If we lived in a perfect environment without sin, it would be heaven. We wouldn't have any problem. Is that so? This is an example here. 1,000 years, plenty of time to get settled in. Well, this isn't enough. The selfish person says, I want more. You didn't need to have an environment around you that is going to persuade you into spirituality. It is not what, it is who that makes you whole. And this is a very good example of when we see that actually happening. Now, the gathering to battle, when these ones go into here, the successive generations of the discontent will start building and building. And then when it comes down to, just as we say in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, after the death of the person, after this is the judgment, and we talk about you can't serve God and mammon, we talk about, as Moses said in Exodus, choose you this day. This is a very stark contrast on where you want to go. It's not numerous things, as Nietzsche would try to say, that there is no right way. Everybody can choose their own way. We see that that is not consistent with the Bible at all. We see that it is right or wrong in here, and it leads up to the army. When the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. When he is released here, and we see this rebellion, we see that he gathers them together. And so what's this Gog and Magog? Well, if you look in Ezekiel 38, leading into 39, you're going to see that these ones are just named, such as you say, Jezebel was used many times as a rebellious woman, or Babylon was the kingdom of rebellion in Revelation 17, spiritual Babylon, the religious Babylon, 18, it was the financial Babylon. You see that here. And so when we see this, this is just really taking place. It's not saying, well, we can tell exactly which city or which province this is. It's symbolic here. So we're going into the battle. which starts in verse 9, and I hate to tell you, but I'm out of time. So we're going to start with the battle in 20. Is it Armageddon? No, that's already happened in chapter 19. What is this battle, and how does it go? We'll find that out. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. This is the Revelation edition of Questions About Heaven. We're continuing on into Revelation chapter 20, the battle. I appreciate so much your encouragement, your prayers, your support. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.